Can I just pop that up there to record you?
Yep.
So feel free to say more nice things about me.
Good, thank you. I won't repeat what I've just said. You've heard it. The thing that we first learned about the church, and I guess the way in which we've been thinking about you and this this community here, is under the three headings of your mission statement, which Dave has been kind of unpacking for you, that you know God's truth, show Jesus' love, and share Jesus' good news. And certainly we've seen all three of those things very much lived out here at Christ Church North Finchley. So knowing God's truth, you have Bible teaching week in, week out through Dave's preaching. You have home groups, which are great. Home groups are great places to learn the Bible together. And it's just great that you've got those going on. And if you've not had the time or the opportunity to get involved in one yet, I'd really encourage you to go along to a home group, speak to Dave about those. You've got the sort of the fledgling men's breakfast thing, which Dave is really encouraged by. So there's loads of stuff going on when you're learning about God's truth. So that's the first step. The second, showing Jesus' love. Now, one of the things that you're going to hear throughout this presentation is that out there is a real lack of community, and yet there's a really desperate desire for community. People want to belong. People want to have a sense of belonging. And the simple fact is that the gospel of Jesus Christ creates a community that is unique and inexplicable apart from the gospel. And you have a community here that is really quite wonderful to see. Everyone we've spoken to amongst you loves your church. You've got people here who say that you really enjoy being a part of this church. And I can say from experience, quite a rare thing, you're all very happy to bring friends along to church. You don't feel uncomfortable doing that. And that's a really, really good sign of the community that's going on. And then finally, sharing Jesus' good news. Obviously, bringing friends to church, you told us that you're already doing that and you're happy to do that. You've got your Saturday cafe. You've got the God Particle Play going on. You've got the new, or starting to move into, Thursday morning coffee and cake in the hall, and various other things that are happening too, which is just really, that's brilliant. We've been really encouraged by that. And so I want to say thank you to you on behalf of all of us personally and as a team for the fact that we have been blessed and encouraged by being here to see a community so committed to sharing Jesus with their community, community outside the church. Just moving forward then, there are two areas of challenge that we've picked up. These aren't negative things, they're just areas of challenge that we've noted. One of them is that you're so keen to have young people and youth and children stuff going on in church. And that's great. The next generation of the church, of course, is in the youth, so it's good to have those things. And yet, the people we've spoken to have wished that there was more going on, and that you want more to be going on. And so really the question we have for you is, how are you going to see that happen? How are you going to help Dave see that happen? I know that Dave's raised the issue of a church apprentice with you. Many of us here have been apprentices in churches, and we'd love to speak to you if you have questions about what that looks like. But so that's one area. And then the other area is that the size of the community outside in 21st century London generally is big, and it's intimidating. It's very different now than it has been in the past. And perhaps you feel that you're small and insignificant in comparison with outside. Perhaps you feel that you've got so much going on with work and with family that next step of going out and taking the gospel out is too much. Perhaps you feel like, because compared with outside, you feel small, you haven't got resources or anything like that, that it's frightening to take that step to go outside. And I, all of us have that fear in 21st century Britain that Christianity is marginalized and weak and small. But sharing the gospel, sharing the good news of salvation is what we're about. And so hopefully, first of all, this presentation will try and break down some of the concerns that you have about North Finchley, or help you see what we've seen in North Finchley, and perhaps encourage you in small ways to take the good news of Jesus Christ out there. And then, of course, secondly, is we have the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the truth of God. It's the power of God for salvation. And that is the greatest thing in the world. So however small or weak we feel, we have that and we can go out and share it. And so we're now going to turn to the area in which Christchurch North Finchley is, and we're going to be looking at our first impressions of the area and thinking through some of the statistics that we've picked up.
So as Nigel said at the beginning, we've very much turned up as tourists here this week in North Finchley. Now some of you may be wondering, what am I wearing? I'm afraid this is all that Dave, your vicar, has in his wardrobe for going on holiday. So maybe you need to chip in and help him out there for the summer. But many of us have been here for the first time. And one of the exercises we've been doing is just walking around, getting to know the area, getting to make some initial impressions. And we've put together a little presentation of some of the things we've discovered. Well, we did get a few funny looks as we walked around North Finchley. But some of those places in those photos you might have recognised. Some of them might have been completely new to you. But from the North Circular, all the way through to Never Street, from the schools through to the synagogues, from the Hollywood Bowl through to the Harrison Hall coffee shop, from the library to the Lido, our first impressions of Finchley is that it's a place where there's a lot going on, a place where a lot of people live. A lot of people like to meet friends for meals or for coffee. A place where people like to relax. And a place where people just like to be in community and to hang out with friends. These are all people who we know that God cares for. And as we approach Easter this weekend, are reminded that Jesus died on the cross for. But the question is, are our first impressions exactly what's going on in the area?
Well, we've just seen the first impressions of the area. But first impressions and personal perceptions of an area can often be deceptive. So we wanted to try and get the big picture of the area by looking at some statistics. And when we looked at the statistics, we asked two questions. What are the main groups of people that you, the church, are serving? And what social needs can you and should engage with? And our source for all this information was the 2011 census, if you care about that kind of thing. And we looked at the subdivision of Woodhouse Ward, in which your church is situated. And I am now going to model the statistics for you.
So let's start with people. Think for a moment, which do you think is the biggest age group of people in this local area? The answer? The majority were aged 25 to 49. The second biggest group of people, with 15%, were children, those aged 15 and under.
That's the ages of the people, but you'll also be aware that your area where you live is really ethnically diverse. So the biggest ethnic minority group in this area is that of people with an Asian Pakistani background. That's then followed up by those from an Afro-Caribbean background. Now, from the data, we couldn't work out, or it's not available, the proportion of white Europeans who've come over into this area. But what we can tell you is that 23% of the people living in this area have moved from outside the UK to this area since 1991. So that's almost a quarter of the population are new to the UK in the last 20 years. So to represent that, I've got your passport.
Thank you very much.
Now what are people doing in the area? Well, 67% of people are in paid employment. And most of those people are in relatively well-paid jobs. They're professionals, they're managers, they're administrators, and they're doing technically skilled jobs. 38% of people in the area are living on their own. That was the biggest group of people. As you can see here, we have removed some of Steve's soup, leaving him with 67%.
I think, sorry, it's slightly over 67%. I'm just going to just correct it. There we go. That's about right. So that's what people do. But another time for you just to think about something here, and you don't have to shout it out. What do you think are people's biggest social needs in this area? What are people's biggest social needs? Just have a think. Well, people's biggest social needs in this area are not health. So I'll take that off of you. And it's not education. This area ranks really highly with having really good education, so a lot of people are educated and good education facilities, and generally people here have good health.
The housing here is very expensive, but the area itself ranks quite highly on the deprivation index. And there are three areas in particular. First of all, income. There are some significantly poor people living in this ward. Thirdly, environment. Things like the housing stock, the air quality, the number of traffic accidents. And finally, this area has quite a high rate of crime. The number one crime in this area is antisocial behaviour.
So, those are some of the social needs, some of the strengths and some of the weaknesses in the area. But also, this area is really mixed, faith-wise. So according to the census data, and also similar to some of our experience knocking on people's doors, 43% of people in this area would call themselves Christian. That doesn't necessarily mean they are all in a relationship with Jesus, but they have a sympathy towards Christian things. The next largest group, speaking about faith, is 18% of people who say they have no faith at all. And as you all know, across the road is a mosque. There's also quite a significant Muslim population in this area, with 13% of the population being Muslim.
So who do you serve? Well, people around here are diverse, but the majority are healthy, they're middle-aged, and they're in good jobs. And what then are their needs? Well, we've found out that they relate to poverty, in particular to crime, income, and the environment. And with regards to people's spiritual needs, 57% of people would not call themselves Christians. Now, I'm going to hand over to the guys who are going to tell us a little bit more about the community.
Thank you very much. We've thought about the area. We've heard some statistics from census data. We're going to think a bit more about the community and what the people in this area think. We've been doing a few things. We've been going around houses door to door, ringing on doorbells and asking people what they think about this area, what they think about faith and religion themselves. We've also been interviewing the local councillor who represents you in this area, because he knocks on about 1,000 doors plus every year, finding out what people's concerns are. So let's try and personalise that data. Let's try and put some flesh on those bones. The first thing we found is that people like living here. They really like living here. I was over interviewing people on Christchurch Avenue over the road, and pretty much everyone said that they liked this area. The same was true of people I interviewed personally over on the ex-council estate. People really like this area. They said it's very quiet. They felt very safe, interestingly. One person said they liked the diversity, and the local councillor said that people felt that they identified with North Finchley, particularly if they've lived here for quite a long time. So people like living here. We've also found that some people think there's little community, and particularly that was felt as I was over the road in Christchurch Avenue. I spoke to one elderly couple, and the first thing one of the things I asked them was, what is this area's greatest need? They said there's very little sense of community here. One or two people over in the council estate said the same, though not all. In fact, the local councillor said the same, said that he thought there's a general lack of local community. Perhaps most people find it where they work, perhaps in the centre, places like that. So people really want community. But also we found that people often focus on their individual concerns. They want community, but they're focusing on their own concerns. So if I asked people yesterday, the same couple who said they really felt there was a lack of community, they said if there's one thing they could change about the area, it was that the council would properly clip the trees on their streets where they live. Very individually focused. Other people are focused on the planning application that's been put in by the next door neighbours. Other issues like that. Well, the education of their children. Things like parking on their street. So people are often focused on their individual concerns. We've also found that there's lots of activity in this area. There's lots of coffee shops and there's a few pubs around. Lots of people come here up to the Tallyho area and onto the high road to shop. One of our team interviewed somebody in their 60s, a gentleman. He was so busy, he was frantically busy going off shopping, then off it straight into the pub, and then straight off into the betting shop. We might not approve of that, but at least he was doing it in the right order. And lastly, surprisingly, many are open about God. And that surprised us. We've interviewed a lot of people this week, and we found that about 90% of people are at least open to God. Quite surprising. So in summary, well, it's interesting that sometimes what people say when you interview them agrees with the stats, and we haven't interviewed everyone, just a snapshot. But in other ways, they kind of think differently to what the statistics say. And it shows we need to get to know the people that live in this area, the area that you live in, that we might better share Jesus with them. We're going to think about particular opportunities there might be and challenges in individuals' lives. And I'm going to hand over to Ben and Jim for that.
Thanks. Well, I think it goes without saying that you probably know this area and the people within it much better than we can get to know them just over the course of 4 days. But that being said, when you spend some time deliberately to go into the places that make up North Finchley, when you observe who is there and you talk to people, it can be really, really, really revealing. Some of us took time to go to places that are very comfortable for us, and sometimes we went to places that were very uncomfortable. But what was clear, wherever you went, that there are loads of examples of places and people that are seeking for the good news that only Jesus can provide. And they're looking for this in a variety of ways. And I'm sure you can think of people in your lives who are just crying out for Jesus, whether where you work or your neighbours or the people who are in your families and your friends. But here are just some examples of the encounters that we had over the course of the 4 days. And we were amazed how many betting shops there were in the area. And some of us watched a man walk into one of those betting shops and in the space of just a few minutes just threw away hundreds and hundreds of pounds on a betting machine, put his hat back on, and left the shop as though it was perfectly normal. It's good to ask questions. Why did he do that? What is he looking for, or what is he looking to escape from? We met a Buddhist who just longed for community and a sense of belonging, and they said that they would join this very church if they felt that they would find that sense of belonging and community that they so longed for, and we know that the gospel can provide. And a couple of us actually went to a yoga class earlier in the week, which was, I can tell you, uncomfortable in every sense of the word. And although today's been quite interactive, we chose against giving you a demonstration. People go there just for exercise, but we chatted to the instructor. And she said that people go there for many other reasons too. Apparently it's becoming increasingly popular with those who lead busy and professional lives. There are people that are on the search for an experience of peace, of happiness, possibly the experience of something that transcends the limited offerings of the world. But of course what yoga provides is only temporary and relatively empty. But it's a clear example of how people, whether consciously or not, are longing for more than just the immediate material life that they lead. And of course we know that they need to hear about Jesus Christ.
People need to hear about Jesus Christ. They need to hear the good news that is the only answer to their deepest longings. Of course, that means that the next step must be to think about, well, how can we make contact with people outside our church community? If you're like me, when you think of that, you're terrified. You think of the community that you live in, and you think of what you read about the church in the papers, that people seem to be closed to the church, closed to the message of Christianity. And so you feel if you go up to people and approach them and start to talk about the good news of Jesus, they'll think you're from another planet. They won't understand what you're talking about. They'll have no ground on which they can engage with you. Well, the big take-home that I've had from this week, from going out and talking to people, is that my fear that that might happen is in fact completely unjustified. See, one of the things that we've been doing is we've been conducting interviews, we've been doing it up on the high street, we've been doing it door to door in the houses around the parish. We've been asking one question in particular: do you believe in God? And the results have been very striking. The first person I spoke to was a young man in his 20s. He was homosexual, he was a jazz dancer, he'd just come down to London to start at the dance college up in North Finchley. I thought his answer was bound to be, no, I don't believe in God, of course not, no one does anymore. But he said, on a rate of 1 to 10, that he thought, yes, there probably was a God, and he rated at about 7. I thought that might have been an anomaly at the start of the week, but what I found as I went on, it was no anomaly. But in fact, that was a consistent pattern. What we found was this, and you might find this very surprising. Of all the people that we interviewed, 10% said they didn't believe in God. 90% said they were open to a belief in God. And you may also be surprised at the opportunities that you might have. One of our group was up in Starbucks, just talking to the staff. It turned out that one of the Lithuanian girls who works there is a Christian. She would go to a church, but she doesn't know where to go. She has no contacts with any Christians. You've heard about the Buddhist that we spoke to. She'd be very happy to come to church. She's looking for community and perhaps just wants to have that invitation. There was a Hindu lady as well who said she'd be very happy to come to a church, not a Christian, but happy to come along, but will only come along if people invite her. And so my surprising conclusion from conducting those surveys was that my fear that people would not understand what I was talking about, that they would reject me out of hand, was actually unjustified. The vast majority of people, at least 90%, are spiritually open, are willing to talk about God, and there are surprising opportunities that can be had. So the question becomes, well, what is the best way to get out into the community and to start making those contacts?
Great. So we've just heard how, surprisingly, you live in a parish, an area that they're surprisingly open to the idea of God, that there is something beyond themselves, and who longs and desires to be in a community in real relationships. So as Jim just said, the question becomes, what opportunities might there be for this church to meet with non-Christians, to introduce them to the true and living God? And something we've heard from within the church, from many people, is that they perhaps don't have many non-Christian friends. So what opportunities might there be to increase this number intentionally and lovingly? What might be the opportunities to show his love? Where might we share his good news? So one way this could be done could be in joining some local social activities that are going on in the area. Myself and Ben together went to a local gym class, a pre-lunch gym class, and we noticed that people were meeting together before their exercise and were hanging out afterwards and even having lunch together. There's some sort of micro-community that's been formed around that activity, a shared experience, a joint hobby that's bringing them together. But as Ben explained, there was some lacking in that community. So it would be worth thinking through, you know, what activities do you enjoy personally? I'm sure many of you are already doing this, and if you are, great, you know, keep doing it. Thinking intentionally about speaking to new people, rather than perhaps sitting or being alongside the regular friends that you might do normally. And be intentional about who you stand next to and who you partner with. Meeting for drinks and coffee, having lunch or cakes together, getting to know people, intentionally investing our time to reveal Christ through our relationships with them. In the area, there are golf clubs, there's an amateur dramatic society. The Dr. French Memorial Home on Never Street, they've got a quiz night coming up in a week's time. I took a walk up to the library and looked at some of the flyers that were up there, and there was a story corner for children, reading groups, art classes, music groups. There are events locally at the Art Depot, the Harrison Hall Cafe just at the road, again advertising many things that are going on. There are mums and tots groups, local scout and guide groups. Where might you be able to plug into these? Where might we be able to meet new people? Build relationships with them. Share your life. Invest your time. Have fun. And by the grace of God, bring them to a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it in pairs. Do it as a group. If you're already doing it, who from the church could come with you? Who could you bring along to be a more Christian presence in that particular community? And it doesn't just need to be clubs and social groups. That's one way. But you know, there are those who are living in your area. One thing we've already mentioned that came across strongly is that knocking on people's doors, people love the area. They love North Finchley. They love the connections. They love the shops, the easy it is to get around. But overriding, though, there's this feeling of a lack of real community, that people had everything they wanted in the place they lived, but they had no one to share it with. Some knew their immediate neighbours, but most didn't. And the church is God's people. Together, a real community of people loving Jesus and each other. This place have what they want, what they need. So it's getting to know our neighbours. Someone in our group was really encouraged at one of the meals they had this week, was saying how the neighbour, the non-Christian neighbours, were in such a good relationship that they were asked giving prayer requests to this Christian couple to pray for them. That kind of community was building on their doorstep. That's just great news of what's going on, what the church is doing already. You know, which people do we see on a regular basis in our daily lives? Or on the bus or the train perhaps, waiting at the bus stop. I mean, myself, when I go shopping, I tend to go shopping the same time on the same day every week. And I see the same people walking around, the same people working at the till. Who could we, when we're shopping, who could we seek to get to know a bit better, extend that conversation with? If you're regularly going for a drink in a pub or a cafe, who do you see there? Again, in our group, spending time working 2 or 3 hours in Starbucks and Wetherspoons. But there was the same people who were there for extended periods of time each day going in and out. Could there be an opportunity for you to invest half an hour of your week going in there and getting to know people? If you're slightly less mobile, could you ask a neighbour to maybe help you with some shopping, help you with some things, or is someone that you could help? I mean, often when I've been thinking through how to do this sort of thing, I found it good to set really small, achievable targets. You know, by the end of the month, I want to have started talking to the person on the bus next to me, perhaps. You know, small steps, where we already are, getting to know the people we see on a regular basis a bit better. As Christians, we're called to love people. So rather than, you know, getting alongside them as some sort of, you know, heavy evangelistic opportunity, you know, which can be scary and intimidating for both you and them, love people. Get to know them. Share in their joys and struggles. Invest your time. And then gradually, over what could be a long time, through your relationships, by the grace of God, pray that Christ might bring them to a relationship with himself. It's far easier to say to a friend, do you want to come along to an Easter event? Or even, you know, we've got the God Particle coming into a show next Friday. Who could we invite this week to come along to that, perhaps? It's easier to speak God's truth into a person's life if we know who they are. Christchurch Thursday Luncheon Club is becoming a coffee morning for seniors. And there are a number who go along to that coffee morning who aren't Christians. If you go, Who could you get to know there? Who could you get to know on the Saturday cafe who walks up and down the street every week? I'm sure you're already doing a lot of this stuff. But look to support each other. Hold each other up in prayer. Pray for those who you're meeting. Pray for opportunities to get in contact with them. Pray for courage. Pray for strength to make that first step, the tiny steps. Pray for those who you know, who are in your home group or in the church community, who are out doing this stuff. It's only by the work of the Spirit that people can come to know Christ, which is, to me, a great relief. It takes the weight off my shoulders. There's nothing that I can do that's, I can mess up as much as I want. It's only by Christ's Spirit it's only by the Holy Spirit that they will come to know Him. So pray that the Spirit goes ahead, so that more might be alongside us to praise Him on the last day. I just want to finish by saying, this community, from what we've seen, this parish longs for relationships. The church can provide those relationships. You can all provide these relationships. We can all provide these relationships. They want it, and we have it here. Communities are built one relationship at a time. Think small steps. And you have the opportunity to introduce them to Jesus, with whom they can build their ultimate, fulfilling relationship. Showing His love and sharing His good news. Hand back to Nigel.
Just as we finish, can I read you one verse? It's from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, a well-known verse. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. And I suppose what we want to share is, having just been here for 4 days, is just a real encouragement that the wonderful light is here. And in the week, sadly, we have seen quite a lot of darkness, quite a lot of sadness, actually, as we've been pushed to go outside our comfort zones, places like betting offices and pawn shops and other places. We've seen real sadness, but there's a real message of light, and we're a holy nation and a royal priesthood. So that's all that we were wanting to say. We are going to have our Maundy Thursday supper now, and the students will spread themselves around the table. So if you've got questions or comments that you'd like to make, then chat with us on the tables. But I want to hand over to Dave now.